Fridays and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The question, what happens next after Elon Musk's very public breakup with President Trump? CBS's Robert Costa.
Talking to people inside and around this White House, they say this is actually quite serious. You have the richest man in the world battling the president of the United States.
Musk suggesting Mr. Trump is listed in Jeffrey Epstein's files and needs to be impeached. Officials in Kyiv say Russia has bombarded Ukraine in one of its largest aerial attacks of the three-year war. Ukraine says three emergency responders were killed. The BBC's Paul Adams.
Here in the capital, which has seen many such nights before, residents took shelter as air defenses tackled waves of drones and missiles.
We'll get new monthly jobs numbers in an hour from now. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
If we get exactly what we're expecting, this tells the Fed that they have a little bit more time to kind of hang out in that wait and see mode.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Republicans are introducing a bill they say would make hospital prices more transparent in Wisconsin. Savannah Tome Olson has the details.
A study from the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce Foundation found Wisconsin has the fifth highest healthcare costs in the country. Their study showed private health plans paid more than 300% more than Medicare did for the same services. Dr. Nicole Hemkiss owns Advocate MD in Madison.
I remember an experience 1 or 2 years ago of calling one of our local healthcare systems, and I had a list of 4 or 5 specific x-rays that I wanted to get the cash price for. I was doing this for our patients in order to figure out what would be the most competitive prices for them. After being transferred to 3 or 4 different people, multiple calls back and unreturned phone calls, I was told that they couldn't give me the cash price because they needed to run this through insurance. And I explained to them that they should know what they are charging for a service that they are doing at their hospital.
Meanwhile, just this week, an analysis from Turquoise Health showed Wisconsin has the highest price transparency in the nation. Federal price transparency rules were put in place in 2021, and since then, no Wisconsin hospital has ever been fined for breaking those rules. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
No-mow May has ended for many municipalities, and now it's Please Mow June. During the month of May, participating towns and cities allowed residents to let lawns grow above the length allowed by municipal ordinances. Now that we're past that early season where pollinators needed the extra help, officials ask that lawn owners trim the grass back to the length in compliance with city and town ordinances. In Stevens Point, grass must be under 9 inches. Wisconsin Rapids residents, yours should be under 7. Happy mowing. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
It's the Brewers and the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight at AmFam Field in Milwaukee, where the Brewers begin a 3-game series against the San Diego Padres in second place in the NL West behind the Dodgers. Chad Patrick on the mound for Milwaukee. NBA, the Pacers were down by as much as 15 points in the fourth quarter last night in game one of the finals on ESPN.
Halliburton looking. Halliburton driving. Pulls off. Jump shot.
The Pacers win 111-110 over the Thunder. Game 2 is Sunday night. NFL, Aaron Rodgers has agreed to a 1-year deal to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He has worked with the quarterback's coach before in Green Bay.
The quarterback coach is actually a guy named Tom Arth. Tom Arth was in the quarterback room with me in 2006 in Green Bay. The first offseason I ever did went through the Mike McCarthy quarterback school. It was me and Tom Arth and Tom Clements.
That's Aaron Rodgers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We are going to have off and on scattered showers and even a few thunder showers as we make our way through the weekend, but there will still be plenty of dry time. Scattered showers today, low to mid-70s for a high. Tonight, we'll drop down into the low 50s. Tomorrow, scattered showers, isolated thunderstorms, high in the low to mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media Radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, to discuss what the heck went wrong with Wisconsin's biennial budget and the draconian cuts the MAGA regime is proposing right here at home.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Friday morning, June 6th, 2025. Coming up, of course, it being Friday, our Week in Review panel. We will have former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel here, Chicago journalist Jennifer Schulze, and in place of Mark Jacob, we will have Chicago radio show host Joan Esposito joining us. I was on her show in Chicago on Wednesday, talking all about Wisconsin news and politics, and she's going to join us as part of our panel here. And then we'll have our new weekly sports segment in our next hour when Civic Media's Mike Clemens joins us. We'll talk about the Red Hot Brewers, that very exciting finish to game one of the NBA Finals yesterday, and Aaron Rodgers finally making it official. The newest bromance. We don't have the Trump-Elon Musk bromance anymore. We now have the one between Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin. And how long is that one going to last before it blows up in sensational fashion? And will it do so before or after week five when the Steelers and the Packers play? We'll talk to Mike Clemens about all of that. Oh, coming up around 8:30 or so here. So that's all what's coming up. Brittany Merlot is standing by with a forecast as well. But first, it's time for the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. This is something that's done statewide across the network four times a day, where you can either win $100 cash or a pair of Brewers Club level tickets. And each entry puts you into the drawing for one of the grand prizes, a weekend getaway, one in the Wisconsin Dells area, one in Door County, some gas money to get there as well. Each time we do this, there's a different keyword that you need to text us through the Civic Media app. So be sure you've got that app downloaded from Apple, Google, wherever. And then when you're in the app, just go to one of the stations on the app and use the text button. And that way you can hear, or, I'm sorry, use the text button. That way you can send us this hour's keyword. And this hour's prize is $100. And the keyword is warm. W-A-R-M, warm. It's got to be spelled correctly. And just send the keyword, nothing else. You have until the end of the hour to text us the keyword warm. Your next chances to play will come at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m., different keywords each time. Again, for $100 this hour's prize, the keyword to text us is warm. Let's see if there's any warmth in the forecast by turning to meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who's back with us after there we go. Let's see, we got Alicia putting on YouTube. Welcome back, Brittany. I hope you're feeling better soon. Robin Tigerson says, Brittany, I hope and pray you feel better soon as well. So let's just say you were missed, girl.
Oh my gosh, I miss you guys so much too. Thank you so much for all the love and the good wishes. I needed it this week. It was a rough week, that's for sure.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear
that. I'm on the mend.
Good. Well, I kind of feel like we are from a weather standpoint in terms of, you know, that Canadian wildfire smoke earlier this week was just so bad. And I'm so glad that it appears to have moved on. But now we've got a weekend that appears to be rather, is unsettled the right word?
Yeah, that's a pretty good word to use, I'd say.
Okay.
We've got a lot going on and off, spotty showers, chances for small storms all throughout the weekend. So I'm going to try my best to time it all out for you. So right now, this morning, we're waking up to the mid-50s north, mid-60s south. We're looking at more clouds than sunshine out there, some light drizzle pushing through central areas. We've got some scattered showers moving into far northern areas. And that's going to stay the case through this morning and into the afternoon. Kind of those spotty showers staying far north. And those could turn into some small storms later this afternoon, staying in the northern half of the state. Now, in central parts and further south, you're still looking at drizzle chances possible on and off or some clouds kind of taking away your sunshine. But otherwise, highs today kind of comfortable, mid-60s north to mid-70s south. And then tomorrow, we've got this system moving in, and it's going to give us a high-pressure system early. So some sunshine to start the day tomorrow. But then some more scattered midday showers are possible, especially south. Highs will hit the low to mid-70s, so still staying comfortable, a little bit cooler on Saturday. And then we've got a front moving in overnight and into early Sunday morning. Now, this is going to move in northwest around midnight. Tomorrow night, showers and storms work their way through the state early in the morning, making their way into southeastern areas by Sunday afternoon. And some of those could be on the stronger side, but it's also going to give us a lot more rainfall, moderate rainfall there, where we could see up to an inch or so in places north, maybe a quarter of an inch to a half an inch in places south. But of course, a damp, darker, dreary kind of weekend, low 70s on Sunday statewide. And that damp, dreary weather continues into our Monday too, with light rain likely. But I don't want to end it on such a sad note. I hate, you know, dampening people's weekends plans. So as we move into next week, it does dry out and it does warm up. So everyone wanting the summer temperatures, they're around the corner still.
That's great, because I mean, right now, after all that love we just gave you, they're turning on you already. Here's Tony. Tony says, geez, first day back and you give me storms on National Donut Day.
Oh, the donuts will make it better.
Tony, you can eat the donuts indoors, buddy. Yes, you can do it that way. Good morning from Tigerton, says Rob. Cloudy, a few sprinkles, 59 degrees. I was busy on my birthday yesterday mowing two big yards and had a birthday pizza at Blazer's Bar and Grill in Split Rock. He said the bank in Tigerton had a birthday greeting at the front in the street there. Says that his Uncle Randy had an 8-track tape of Convoy. Smokey and the Bandit was a great movie with all that CB talk. We mentioned D-Day in our last segment, and he says World War II, that was a true American hero's generation, amazing people that went through the Great Depression and World War II. And then he says, thank you, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, for putting a birthday greeting for me on her Facebook wall. It was a great birthday, and it was our pleasure to add to those greetings on your birthday post there that Kristen put up for you, Rob. So again, thanks for being part of our radio family. And
happy birthday, Rob. I'm so sorry that I missed it, and it sounds like you had a wonderful day and you deserve that.
He does, and he acknowledges that we do need the rain as well. So we will get through the weekend on all this. You keep feeling better, and we'll hope to see you on Monday.
Thank you so much. You guys have a good weekend.
Yep. See you later. There's Brittany Merlot with a little weather update for us at 7:13 on this Friday, with a reminder again, our Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. Keyword for this hour is warm, W-A-R-M, and it's worth $100. We're going to pull one of those texts at random and give you that prize, and you'll be in the running for the grand prizes too. Just looking over at the text line here, all the folks that are sending in the keyword, and interspersed in there is Tom from Jackson saying it's great to hear Brittany again. Best wishes to her. And I have got to hand it to one of our folks who takes issue with a lot of what we say now and then, and that of course would be Mark in Sussex. And I want to get to just the right, I want to read the text just so. Because we did talk about all the money that Elon Musk put into getting Donald Trump elected. And I said that, yes, it did make a difference. And Mark from Sussex on the text line says, please, Harris, I have to clean this up. Harris wasted over $1 billion in 3 months. How easily libs forget that? And then 10 minutes later, he writes, no comeback. And, well, On that one, I can plead guilty because I wasn't looking at my text window, Mark. But the fact of the matter is, Mark, I don't have a great comeback for you. I don't. I don't like that Elon Musk could spend $300 million, but I also don't like how the Democratic presidential campaign raised $1 billion and how they used it. And not just how they used it during the campaign. But what always bothers me is campaigns and parties, they always spend down to zero. And I understand the thought behind it is, you know, well, you don't want to leave anything on the table. You want to run all the way through the finish line. I get that. I get that sentiment. But this is the only time you can raise the money, and it's not the only time you need it. And if there's one thing, and I can only speak for, you know, Democratic circles, I'll let somebody else speak for Republican circles. Democrats need more year-round investment, year-round organizing, year-round messaging than ever before. And there's still too many people that think, well, all those text messages that we sent to raise money before Election Day, we'll just keep sending those texts out. And I'm still getting those texts. And I'm not sending a dime in. I haven't been for a long time anyway. I keep getting the text just so I can see what they're saying. But I tell you, I get on my soapbox about this all the time. So, Mark, you raise a good point. We can definitely do an autopsy on how the Harris-Walz campaign spent their money. But it was their money. It wasn't Elon Musk taking advantage of all the loopholes and putting money into places. It's wild now, thanks to Citizens United and thanks to the Wisconsin legislature. We still have these things called maximum donations where, and I don't remember the maximum numbers anymore, so I'm plucking this number out of thin air. Okay, I'm going to give the Kreitlow campaign $10,000 because that's what the maximum is. But I'm going to give the party $1 million. And I'm going to tell them I expect it to be, you know, done on the Kreitlow campaign. And theoretically, if there's a paper trail, somebody could be prosecuted for it, but it never, ever happens. And so this whole system is broken so badly. And the way certain parties deal with the money that they raise is broken so badly. I've got nothing good to say about any of it. So my point still stands about how no one person, the world's richest man, should not be able to put this much money into political campaigns. But Mark in Sussex is also right that we really have to take issue with the way that our money is used, no matter who we are. If we gave it to Donald Trump, if we gave it to Kamala Harris, if we gave it to a party, if we gave it to a group, I don't know that anybody feels like they're getting what they can for their investment. Which leads me to a pledge drive. We're currently doing one at Up North News. We do one every quarter because, like lots of other organizations, we rely on donations of all sizes to get things done. There are some big ones out there. There are some mid-sized ones out there. And there's all kind of small dollar ones, too, that I appreciate. And I appreciate it because when I helped start Up North News, initially the mailing address was for a Courier newsroom, you know, cubicle somewhere in New York City or Washington, D.C., I forget what. And I said, no, that's not going to do. Nobody's going to want to send us mail that has to be rerouted from New York or D.C. So I went down to the Chippewa Falls post office. I said, could I have a P.O. box, please? And they said, here you go. Here's the key to number 27. So P.O. box 27 in Chippewa Falls, 54729, is where we have been collecting, you know, little 10 and 25 and 50 and the occasional $100 donation for, you know, these past 5.5 years. And I'm so grateful for every one of them. A lot of times they come with just a little note, like what you do, keep doing what you're doing. Occasionally we get the not so nice email. I don't think any have come from Mark in Sussex yet, but Mark, you can send a note there too to P.O. box 27. And just want to say, if you like what we're doing, again, we are separate from Civic Media, separate entity all the way here. Love the partnership. But if you want to support Up North News, that's one way to do it. The easier, faster way would be to go on the website. And there's a way up top there to support Up North News that way and support Courier Newsroom as well. We appreciate it all. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel is standing by, as is Joan Esposito, Jennifer Schulze. We will talk about all the week's headlines, starting with the bromance breakup. Coming up right after this, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
locally grown radio, WFHR.
Now at Verizon, we have some big news for your peace of mind. For all our customers, existing and new, we're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan and my home. That's future you peace of mind. And everyone can save on a brand new phone on my plan when you trade in any phone from one of our top brands. That's new phone peace of mind. Because at Verizon, whether you're already a customer or you're just joining us, we got you. Visit Verizon today. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply for all offers.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, all. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report. I'm your host, James J. Maloff here. Welcoming into the studio, our good friend from UW Extension, Matt Lippert, agricultural agent over there. Matt, always good to have you in studio with us. How you doing?
Doing great.
Good to have you here. And how timely is this? It's June. We're in Dairy Month. We've got Madden with us. It's like we planned this, Matt. It's
right.
Or not. Either way, we are really happy to have you in, and especially this month in talking with us. I myself and many other people out there are going to talk about Dairy Month. We have a lot of topics that we like to highlight, and we any chance to, you know, support the ag industry and promote it, we love being able to do. But we're not actually in the industry, and to get to talk to somebody who is actually in the industry is a privilege, and I appreciate that. Appreciate what you and your colleagues out there do and everything. What is one of the ways, Matt, that for people like myself, that we can support our ag industry, our dairy industry, that we can really truly celebrate June Dairy Month?
Well, the classic one would be that there's many dairy breakfasts. We're not going to go over when and where they all are.
Sure.
But throughout the state, some are county events, some are associated with school districts. Maybe the FFA groups are putting them on. But there's dairy breakfasts. I work also in Clark County. I think we have 7 or 8 over there in the county. Wood County has about 4. Actually, my family's farm is hosting one on June 14th. So that's the Pittsville FFA Dairy Breakfast. So that's a classic way you'd support the dairy industry.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Or go have some ice cream. That would be...
if we must. if we must. I suppose. No, that's a great one, too. You know, one of the first things I think of, and this is from talking with you for many years, and every new chance I get to talk to our new Alice in Dairyland, we've had many, many interviews with them over the years, and those wonderful young people that are doing that job and that position and everything, looking for that red label and looking for that Wisconsin-made brand and stuff, and really leaning into that as much as you can, certainly any month, any day of the year. But June is a really good month to hit on that. That's a good one. And I'm cheating here, everybody. I have in front of me the WisconsinDairy.org, the wonderful website that covers a lot of this in the state. They're mentioning not only dairy sustainability, but dairy delicious summer recipes. So maybe looking for some different ways to enjoy your dairy products this summer.
Oh, for sure. So that same group a couple of years ago came out with these butter, so charcuterie, you know, you often think of cheese, but they've come out with butter boards, you know, that you can dip things with butter. And, you know, I don't think you have to feel, you certainly don't have to feel as bad as you once did about, you know, butter is a fat-based spread, but it's butter fat. And, you know, that was really maligned for decades as contributing to early death and heart problems of people. And not that the word has changed so much that you should just eat all the but, you know, so like olive oil is this healthy food, and it's a fat, it's an oil. But there's been, I was just reading this morning before I came here, a dairy industry publication, but butter fat is, there have been some really large population studies that have found that in some cases it's been contributing to positive outcomes. So, you know, the USDA has the My Plate on how you're supposed to eat. And dairy got taken off of the old, it's still at My Plate. It's like the cup on the side. So it's still there. And of course, different industry food groups lobby and to maintain their presence there. But I think the evidence for dairy is actually pretty solid.
Yeah.
And a lot of the messaging has been low-fat dairy products. But actually, there's some really positive news about the butter fat as well, being maybe not the gold standard like olive oil, but it's better than some. And so you should, and it really adds a lot of pleasure to a person's life, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
People like their buttery baked desserts and on their breads, and you shouldn't be afraid of that.
I like butter so much, Matt, that I lose points with my Jewish mother all the time. And on my bagel, I put butter and not cream cheese. That's how into butter I am.
But they're both dairy products.
Right. My bases should be covered either way, I would think. But that's the whole thing with her. Yes. And I have to admit, I think of my Nana when you bring this up. My Nana for a long time was, this is a hill she believed, you know, that butter was not so much good for you, but some butter was. And that it was important to have some fats, in part because olive oil, again, being an Italian household, you have to have olive oil in the house. Yes. That and milk and water. You've got to have those three things. And she probably, I don't know how much she understood of these things, but I know she understood somewhat of that stuff. And I imagine the two might have been intertwined a little bit. It's a good note. It's a good note to mention. I encourage people to look into the articles like Matt was talking about there and finding out more about that, because it's a really good point. And there are other great ways to celebrate. I think Matt hit it on the head right away. If you can go to any of these June Dairy Month breakfasts, go to as many of them as you can attend. And I encourage you to bring the kids along as much as you can. Those of you with kids, of course. When you're doing these events, one of the things that I remember talking so much about friends of mine that grew up in this area, is them attending a June Dairy Breakfast. And maybe they didn't come from an ag family, but that got them interested in agriculture. Or even in to a degree, some understanding of that industry, some more empathy for that industry. We need that for so many reasons. One big one, I think, is having some more understanding of what it is to be a farmer, or it is to work in the dairy industry, or any of these things. and having a little more understanding of why we need to keep these industries healthy and how important it is for the rest of our world and our country. Whether you step foot on a farm ever in your life or not, you need that farm, and how, and just bringing it home a little bit more of the reasoning of that. That can start with just going to a June Dairy Month and sparking a kid's interest or getting them to understand this world a little more.
You were listening to The Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Boy, the high price for beef cattle driving our dairy industry towards a milk slump. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. The high price that's being paid right now for cull cows, even heifers and baby calves, could be driving us towards a milk spiral coming up as soon as this fall. That's the projections of Cody Koster, dairy risk manager with EverAg.
But I believe that this is all going to kind of come to a head. You might have to wait until September, October, getting into quarter four type time frame for this to really happen. But when we do see it happen, I think it's going to be a spiral. And when we see that flat line of milk production, the next month you see lower, it's going to be like, okay, now everyone's catching on and we're seeing the ramifications of breeding differently than we have been for the past 10, 20 years in a row.
Cody Koster, he's a dairy risk manager with EverAg, and he said it's not just the United States that's caught up in this swirl of high beef prices, forcing dairies to liquidate their heifers. He said it's happening in Europe as well. Markets are next.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Yesterday, the barrel cheese gained a penny and three quarters at 186. 40-pound block cheese was down a penny and three quarters at 192. Double A butter, that dropped a quarter of a cent on Thursday to 255 and three quarters per pound. This morning, the July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, currently up three at 1867. The August milk closed 17 cents lower, 1901. Currently, July corn's down two. December new crop down a penny and a half, 447. July soybeans are down a penny. November new crop down a half at 1033. The wheat for July currently 3.5 cents lower at 542 a bushel. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Friday trade session. More news available anytime you want it at MidwestFarmReport.com, and check out our podcast as well. I'm PM Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We are going to have off and on scattered showers and even a few thunder showers as we make our way through the weekend, but there will still be plenty of dry time. Scattered showers today, low to mid-70s for a high. Tonight, we'll drop down into the low 50s. Tomorrow, scattered showers, isolated thunderstorms, high in the low to mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin. It is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided. We've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably yes. has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll be joined by Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. Also, Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, will be here to break down all the news. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Still ahead, we'll talk sports with Civic Media's Mike Clemens, and we'll be visited in just after the 8 o'clock news by Dr. Kristen Lyerly about comments made by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss telling a room full of doctors, you need to do your research. I'm sure that went over really well. All right, let's get to it. We've got a great panel here. Jennifer Scholze, Joan Esposito, Jim Santel all here. Mark Jacob is off this week. And where do we begin? Let me describe how it all unfolded for me. I work here for a couple hours after the show and was starting to get the little things about Elon Musk saying this bill's got to be killed and Donald Trump saying, I'm really disappointed in Elon. And then I stepped away for a while, ran some errands and things. I come back to the desk and it's like basically my computer was almost on fire. There was just so much going back and forth between, accusing Trump of, being with Jeffrey Epstein and Trump saying, let's cancel the SpaceX contracts and him saying, fine, we'll decommission the rocket and strand your astronauts and other people saying, let's send Elon Musk back to Africa. And Jennifer, I'll start with you. It was all delicious in a way. And then afterwards, the aftertaste is like, wait, what does it really change? And it's a very unsatisfying answer in the beginning, I think.
I'm not sure what it really changes. It remains to be seen if these two will patch things up or not. And the implications, I think, could be pretty enormous for Musk, for example. I mean, he has a lot of money in government contracts. Trump could take those away. That would have a significant impact. Trump could really go after Musk in a big way, and Musk could really go after Trump in a big way by funding, challengers to Republicans in the 2026 midterms. I thought, though, my takeaway was, what a disgusting bunch of people to have that much power. I mean, I've thought that for a long time about both of them, but it was just an eye into... They both have so much power over so much, and watching that unfold was nauseating.
It was so both things, Joan. It was nauseating, and yet it was kind of you love to see it. It's the meme with Jon Stewart and the box of popcorn and everything else. There was just a lot of feels. Yesterday.
A lot of feels. One of the things I said on the air yesterday was, what they say in politics, there are no friends, there are no enemies, there are only interests. This is a perfect opportunity to get some benefit out of Elon Musk, even if we don't bring him into the fold, which I think is never going to happen. But, have him go ahead and threaten. Laura Loomer posted something that she'd been on Capitol Hill talking to legislators, and they just didn't know whether to throw in with Musk or to throw in with Trump. And Musk reposted that and said, Trump's going to be gone in 3.5 years. I'm going to be here for the next 40 years.
Unless he goes up in one of his rockets and it goes boom. Yeah. I mean, he's.
Yeah. Well, and Trump could die while, choking on a McDonald's hamburger,
right.
too.
But
I think anything that he does that causes pain for Donald Trump is a plus. It's a win, and I'll take it.
So, Jim, with all of the back and forth, there were threats to cancel contracts because, again, Donald Trump thinks he can unilaterally do pretty much anything. And meanwhile, excuse me, people are looking at Elon Musk like, hey, I think you overstayed your visa back in the day. Maybe you can be deported. From a legal standpoint, even, there was a lot that you could decide to juggle and examine further.
Sure, absolutely. And it harkens back to those early days when all of us looked at this relationship and said, this will not last. And sure enough, we were all right. Everybody was right about that. But it goes to this larger issue, which is you think about all of the legal things that have followed in the wake of, I don't refer to it as DOGE because it's not a department.
No.
The Musk team doing all these things, the damage that he has caused in an unofficial capacity, not only thousands of people losing their jobs, bringing down agencies that provide good things for the American public. And now you walk away from it, and we're now focusing upon this spat, which is more than that, between people, neither of whom is a serious person. Elon Musk is not a serious person. Donald Trump is not a serious person. They are not committed to what government should do for people. And it is shocking. We should be stunned by the fact, yes, indeed, that now they're at odds with each other. But in the wake of what? In the wake of a coming through again with a chainsaw, with a wrecking ball, use your metaphor, and note that once again, the result of this relationship, bad from the start, is that our government is diminished today, and we are all diminished by that.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And Jennifer, I was looking at the text line, and here's one from Dan. Seeing Trump and Musk arguing would be like watching an episode of The Real Housewives screaming at each other. Don't care. They're just wagging the dog and using news oxygen. And that gets us into the newsroom debate about this, because on one of the cable channels, Jake Tapper was just beside himself reading every one of them and every one of the tweets and the posts and everything. And meanwhile, over on MSNBC, which you'd think would be reveling in it, you had Nicole Wallace, who was actually trying to kind of keep her eye on the ball in terms of, you know, the real threats to due process and things like that. And if you're in the news business, I'm going to emphasize the business of it. Again, it's a weird tightrope to walk of how much exposure you give to the circus without losing sight of what's really happening, Jen.
And the New York Times this morning, the front page is screenshots of all these tweets, you know, the huge page. And I think you can do both. You can look at the circus and you can talk about the actual impacts of the circus, the potential for Musk yesterday threatened not to send a rocket up to the International Space Station to get the astronauts. That would be serious. You know, Trump is threatening to take away Elon Musk's contracts. I mean, I'm okay with that myself, but I mean, that would be serious for him. Elon Musk's car company, Tesla, suffered a huge stock loss yesterday with all of the chaos. So there are lots of impacts. But yes, it is juicy. It's entertaining. You know, as AOC said, the girls are fighting. Someone else had a meme that said alien versus predator.
Yep.
You know, somebody else said alien versus sexual predator. I mean, you know, people are going to get a lot of mileage out of it. But at the end, again, I come back to the fact that these two have been in charge of the government together. I've called Musk co-president. For 4+ months. And what, like Jim said, what they have done to the country and to the world. I mean, there are children dying in Africa because Musk stopped the funding for PEPFAR. I mean, it is the consequences are so grave that I have to not let myself get too carried away with today's soap opera.
We've certainly had those discussions here, both from an Up North News standpoint and a civic media standpoint. Joan, from a radio standpoint, when you take callers, it's how much fun do you have with it, basically, you know, because the girls are fighting, as they like to say, versus not feeling like you're being used, you know, we're watching the monkeys while, you know, somebody else is picking your pocket.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a sort of a decision that, Pat, I'm sure you do the same thing. I kind of feel it out and make these decisions on the fly. After initially reporting some of the first back and forth, I told my audience, I said, you know, I'm not going to be doing this all afternoon. I am not going to be completely watching this banter. We've got other stuff to do. We've got other people to talk to. And then I had a great interview. And at the end of the interview, I said, okay, I can't help it. I have to tell you what happened in the last few minutes. Because that was the Laura Loomer thing, because that's what I was thinking. There are a lot of people in elected office right now at the federal level who are sweating this out, because, you know, on the one hand, you've got this, when you had Trump's anger and Musk's money paired together, that was a 1-2 punch that you couldn't fight. But now, do you go with the angry guy who will try to find some kind of revenge, or the guy who potentially could give you enough money to sail to reelection? That's going to be a tough one. That's, yeah, I think, an interesting story.
Lots of people are caught in the middle, Jim. Not the least of them are the, you know, the various attorneys, and we've already seen instances where, you know, lawyers have either been let go or have left rather than deal with all of this. A lot of it is not at the feet of Trump so much as Pam Bondi, the attorney general. And I saw a note, I think early this morning, about, once again, this is another effort to get Pam Bondi disbarred in the state of Florida, which has been unsuccessful before. It probably will be again, but they're bringing it up to make the case. I think they just want to keep it out there that an attorney general is not supposed to be the president's personal, yes, attorney and political henchperson. And that's exactly what Pam Bondi's doing.
And that is a break of tradition from, with the exception of Trump, one of every single administration. I worked for 9 different attorneys general during my time with the Department of Justice. In each one of them, the attorney general would consistently say arm's length with the White House. So dramatic that when I was U.S. attorney, the instruction was, you get any call from the White House, you report it right away back to Maine Justice. You do not respond to those phone calls. Now you've got our attorney general, the chief federal law enforcement officer for this nation, talking about how the Department of Justice works for not the American people, not in support of the Constitution, but we are supporting the President of the United States of America. And we're terminating those folks and suspending them if, in fact, they don't go to that proposition in court and out of court. It is a complete turning on its head of how the Department of Justice is supposed to work. And it can work in bad ways, too, not only supporting the president, but some real injustice out there when it comes to taking all your cues from who it is the president wants prosecuted and not. We've already seen that investigations. It is dangerous at the highest levels.
Today, Democratic state attorneys general are going to seek to block Trump's proposal for a sweeping overhaul of U.S. elections. It's a case that's going to test a constitutional bedrock, the separation of powers. These top law enforcement officials from 19 states have filed a federal lawsuit after Trump signed an executive order in March. They're going to argue its provisions would step on states' power to set their own election rules and that the executive branch has no such authority. Jim, obviously Josh Call is a part of that. I'm sure that's not going to sit well with Ann Jacobs, who chairs the Wisconsin Elections Commission, either, that there needs to be, you know, states were given the ability to write their own election rules. Donald Trump doesn't get to write them for the state.
Exactly right. It's a real simple answer, Mr. President. Take a look at your Constitution. Oh, that's right. You don't take a look at it.
I don't know if I'm supposed to or not.
Right?
Yeah, yeah,
right. But James Madison said the times, place, circumstances of how we do elections in America, where do those go? Those are reserved to the states. And that's the reason why California does things differently than we do in Wisconsin, different in Illinois, other places. That's reserved to the states. It is not a federal issue. And of all the branches of government, the president is the one that has nothing to do with these kinds of things. It is a matter for the Wisconsin Election Commission, the Illinois Election Commission. They're the ones who do that. It's in the Constitution. This should once again be easy for a federal judge to look at and say in a 2-page order, you're out of luck once again, Mr. President, can't do this. And we'll go down this road once again of seeing whether or not he complies with it, the rule of law issue, the constitutional crisis that we are in right now adds more fuel to that fire and maybe ultimately ends up at the Supreme Court. This is the loop we're in right now. This should not be a difficult decision.
It shouldn't be, and yet it is. Amicus Law Review can be heard live on Saturdays with Jim Santel, 9 to 11 on civic media stations all around Wisconsin. Jennifer Schulze's newsletter is on Substack, Indistinct Chatter. Search for @NewsJennifer. And, of course, you've got Joan Esposito live, local and progressive on WCPT in Chicago weekdays from 2 to 5 p.m. That there is our Week in Review panel. Some folks will be sticking around, and they're going to do a little overtime work for us talking about this week's issues. For the rest of you, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
During your working years, you know where your income is coming from. But once you retire, you'll have to know how much you can expect from different income sources and how to manage this income to help support a retirement that could last 2 or 3 decades. Your IRA and 401k will be key income sources. How much should you withdraw from these accounts each year? You'll want to pick a withdrawal rate based on various factors such as your age, health, and other sources of income. Next, consider Social Security. You can start collecting benefits at age 62, but your payments will be much bigger if you wait until your full retirement age, between 66 and 67. By learning how to maximize your income sources, you can help yourself achieve a comfortable and more rewarding retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor, at 715-421-0958.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
I love it.
What I want to know is that the song or is that Seth?
It was a combination of Seth and I. We couldn't figure out which one did it best, so we just merged them together. We appreciate you being here, Denise. How you doing?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, always good to have you with us. Love talking about not only what's going on at the Humane Society, but certainly our good friends over there. We do want to send a special shout out to our friends at Milltown Coffee, sponsoring this segment, giving us an opportunity to hang out with Denise, talk about some of these great furry friends of ours. Milltown is up and running. Everybody check out that lunch menu of theirs. They got a bunch of other great things in store for you, and of course some amazing coffee. Find out more at missioncoffeerapids.com, missioncoffeerapids.com, or type into your search bar on Facebook Milltown Coffee Company. Like what they're doing, subscribe, keep up to date on everything over there. Buy local, support local, and support those that support this community, like our friends at Milltown Coffee Company. And Denise, before we dive into action over at the Humane Society, I had a story that I wanted to touch on with you and Terry.
Okay.
A kitten herd calling for help from an underground pipe in New York was coaxed out by a rescuer and will soon be available for adoption. Pamela Gallagher, who lives in Bayshore area on Long Island, said she heard animal sounds coming from underneath her deck and called for help from firefighters. Firefighters pulled up some boards and discovered the sounds were coming from a 10 to 15 feet underground inside a downspout.
Wow.
John DeBecker, a Long Island Cat and Kitten Solution responder, responded to the home and played recorded kitten sounds to lure the tiny feline out.
Garrett, wow. Just think that there's an actual position that's a kitten responder.
It tells you a little bit how much this happens.
It happens a lot.
But I love the idea. So they just I don't know if he's done this before, but he seemed to have this ready to go.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like something you just have good. Sitting around or anything.
Probably so just on like his phone. Done this before. Probably just has a file, right? Yeah, like he could just...
Hang on, I got this.
Yeah, right?
Every animal is certainly different, and it's part of the reason why I feel like anytime you hear like just different techniques that people use to coax their animals back or out of something, it's all good data.
Right. If it works, hey, keep doing it.
But you know what's funny? Can't you see a dog responding quicker to like another dog sound? Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes cats are like...
I
mean, maybe this one's been stuck long enough that it wants to come out, but like all of a sudden it's just because it hears another cat. Like, why...
Or might be afraid. I'm staying down here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. That too. It's an interesting article. A shout out to all those workers over there and helping out that little furry guy there. Denise, how are things going over at the shop? What are you guys up to?
They're great. We are putting furniture where it needs to be and looking at the end of complete construction. They're going to be redoing our floor. So we're a little tentative on getting things finalized. But other than that, we are up 100% back in business.
So good to hear. Yeah. That's wonderful, especially for the staff and the animals.
Yeah.
Things are getting back to a normal kind of routine over there.
They are, yes.
With that, does that mean we are opening things to more volunteers or dog walkers or anything?
Yep, absolutely. We're always looking for volunteers to come in and walk dogs, walk cat or socialize cats. Just go on our website and fill out that volunteer tab or volunteer application under the Get Involved tab.
And you can do that at the website. We'll get that to you before we wrap up. Mm-hmm. You guys are also going to be in town today. You got a busy day today. You're stopping by here, and you're also going to be at Lunch by the River.
Correct. We are very excited about the opening day of Lunch by the River. We will be there every week, and we will have a pet. Today we're going to have a dog for everybody to see.
Oh, cool. Very cool. We are looking forward to seeing you down there. Terry and I will talk a little bit more about Lunch by the River later and our good stories of the day and everything. Mm-hmm. But make your lunch plans are already set, everybody. 11:30 to 1, we'll meet you at Veterans Memorial Park with Denise. And it's going to be fun. That is going to be great. Yeah. I will not. I have so many follow-up questions, but I don't want to ruin anything. So, yeah, that's cool. That's very cool. As far as needs over there, are we still in kitten season?
Yep. Cat litter. Kitten food, like the soft or any of kind of the pâtés, we are in need. And as always, sensitive stomach and skin food for dogs and cats.
And, you know, Denise, one of the things, and this is something that we were actually kind of in a way talking with Terry before about, we have a great community that just shows up for this stuff. Terry and I were talking about the diaper drive going on with the United Way and the great response with that, or Stuff the Desk or some of those events. And certainly you and the staff at the Humane Society experience a lot of those things. This good community, but sometimes it can be a little overwhelming when you know, okay, I want to get wet cat food. I want to help out. I want to do something like that. And there are 50 brands. I don't like to add on to your guys' plate over there, no pun intended. if I'm just daunted by this or I'm uncertain, can I reach out to you guys and say, hey, absolutely, which brand is a brand you recommend or something?
You can call with questions anytime. I'm usually there 5 or 6 days a week. Even though we're closed on Mondays and Wednesdays, I'm there. They can call. Otherwise, we're not picky on brands. We will take anything that you can find on a shelf, or if it's been used, you have it in your house, you're not using it, as long as it's in its original packaging and it's not expired, we can take it and use it, no matter the brand.
I have made the audience wait long enough. Denise, who is our pet of the week?
This week, we're going to feature Bluey. Mm-hmm. He's an American Blue Heeler. Every inch of him is the herding, working dog. He's beautiful. He's only 2 years old. He is okay around other dogs. Doesn't care for young children, so probably in a home with no young children or older children or people that know his breed.
Mm. I am a sucker for blue heelers. I've had some good interactions with them and everything. I really enjoy them. I don't have young kids, but even I had the Bluey theme song pop in my head as soon as I saw that title. I could not help it. That's great. That's a great name. A great name. And a really, really fun looking dog. A little fun little guy here.
He is very fun. He's all personality.
And I can't tell too well from the pictures. Usually, for me, blue heelers are taller, a bit bigger. He doesn't seem to have a lot of the height to him.
No, he doesn't. He's a medium-sized dog. I wouldn't say small. Maybe about 40, 50 pounds. But he's got lots of energy, and he will herd everybody and everything.
Well, it seems like a really, like the especially, and this is obviously, I say this a lot with this segment, but just there's some family out there that this dog is going to be a literal perfect fit for.
Absolutely, yeah. A lot of people are big fans of this breed and know a lot about it. So if you are looking for an American Blue Heeler, come check Bluey out.
I feel like I should borrow him to herd all those darn rabbits that are in my yard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he would.
Move them on.
The winter, there was things very busy in the rabbit community over winter, because I feel like every day I'm seeing rabbits where I used to not see them and everything. Denise, say hi to the staff and all those great animals for us, and Bluey, of course, and thank you for joining us.
Will do. Thanks for having me.
This is Locally Grown Radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE was Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. We have brand new jobs numbers as investors look for signs of a slowdown amid President Trump's rising tariffs. The Labor Department just reporting employers created 139,000 new positions in May. That's slightly fewer, or significantly fewer, than the 177,000 the month before. Most new jobs were in healthcare, leisure, and hospitality. Unemployment unchanged at 4.2%. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
The government jobs report comes just days after ADP said that there were only 37,000 private sector jobs created. In that ADP report, small businesses, the ones with fewer than 50 employees, actually cut workers.
Again, Labor Department reporting employers created 139,000 new positions in May, compared to 177,000 the month before. CBS News Special Report.